Yuruvacha. Savai Swayambhuvak Samrat.
Savai Swayambhuva Samrat.
Priyat Putrat Swayambhuvaha.
Priyat Putra Swayambhuvaha.
Prati Labhya Priyam Patnim.
Prati Labhya Priyam Patnim.
Kim Chakara Tato Mune.
Kim Chakara Tato Mune.
Virura Uvacha.
Virura Uvacha.
Savai Swayambhuvak Samrat.
Savai Swayambhuvak Samrat.
Priyak Putrap Swayambhuvaha.
Priyak Putrap Swayambhuvaha.
Pratilabhya Priyam Patnim.
Pratilabhya Priyam Patnim.
Kim Chakara Tato Mune.
Kim Chakara Tato Mune.
Number two.
Vidura Uvacha.
Vidura Uvacha.
Savai Swayambhuva Samrat.
Savai Swayambhuva Samrat.
Priya Putra Swayambhuva.
Priya Putra Swayambhuva.
Pratilabhya Priyam Patnim.
Pratilabhya Priyam Patnim. Chim Chakara Tato Muni. Viduru Vacha. Savai Swayambhuvak Samrat. Priya Putra Swayambhuvaha. Pratilabhya Priyam Patnim. Vim Chakara Tato Mune. Vidura Uvacha.
Vidura
said. Saha. He
vai
easily Swayambhuvaha. Swayambhuva Manu. Samrat, the king of all kings. Priyaha,
dear.
Putraha, son. Swayambhuvaha.
Of Brahma.
Pratilabhya.
Pratilabhya.
After obtaining.
After obtaining.
Priyam.
Priyam.
Most loving.
Most loving.
Patnim.
Patnim.
Wife.
Wife.
Kim.
Kim.
What?
What?
Chakara.
Chakara.
Did.
Did.
Tataha.
Tataha.
Thereafter.
Mune,
O great sage.
O great sage.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Vidura said, O great sage, what did Swayambhuva, the dear son of Brahma, do after obtaining his very loving wife? Text number 3. Charitam tasya rajarsher adirajasya sattama. Bruhi me shuddhanaya vishvaksenashrayo yasau. O best of the virtuous, the original king of kings, Manu, was a great devotee of the personality of Godhead Hari, and thus it is worth hearing of his sublime character and activities. Please describe them. I am very eager to hear. Purport. Srimad Bhagavatam is full of the transcendental topics of the personality of Godhead and his pure devotees. In the absolute world, there is no difference in quality between the Supreme Lord and his pure devotee. Therefore, hearing the topics of the Lord and hearing of the character and activities of the pure devotee have the same result, namely, the development of devotional service. Sometimes immature devotees think that only their spiritual master is a Vaishnava, in a sense, you know, and everybody else is And the Mayavadis also tend to think like that. You know, they elevate the spiritual master to a position equal to God, no matter what kind of rascal he is. He's Parnam Guru, Jagat Guru. No matter what he is, they don't care, you know, how bad his personal character is. Anyway, he's Guru. Anyway, that's immature attitude. Mature understanding is that the Lord has many pure devotees, and the glorification of the pure devotees is even better than the glorification of the Supreme Lord. Understanding and appreciating the greatness of Krishna's devotees is a more effective process than trying to directly appreciate Krishna. Not that there's anything wrong with appreciating Krishna, but it's not easy. Krishna is a strange person. Some of his things cannot be appreciated easily by the conditioned mind. Some of the things he does and some of the things he is. His devotees are more accessible, more easily understandable. And his devotees are just as pure as he is by being in intimate association with him. Even Swayambhuva Manu, he's a grahasta, a king. But still, we read about him, his sublime character, while sitting in his palace, in his opulent house with his wife. Every day he listened to Krishna Katha. That's all. Nothing special besides that. And he went back to Godhead. There were 3,200 people mentioned in the Bhagavatam, and only 1% of them are mentioned as having gone back to Godhead. Maybe some of the other ones did. But it's only said that about 35 people, 33 people that I can count, actually went back to Godhead. At least it said that they went back to Godhead. Swayambhuva Manu was one of them. All he did was rule his kingdom, take care of his family and chant Hare Krishna, or whatever he did. He did listen to Krishna Katha every morning. And he had a sublime character. And therefore his character is glorified in these pages of the Bhagavatam. We'll read somewhat later in chapter 21. Typical problem for a householder, you have to get your daughter married. And this was the problem that Swayambhuva Manu faced. And at that time, there weren't many suitable bridegrooms around. There's hardly anybody around. And especially, you have to get your daughter married. She's the daughter of Manu. You have to get a suitable husband. Someone commensurate. Even today, with billions of grooms available, there's difficulty matching suitable husband, suitable wife. So many newspaper advertising, classified ads, web pages for trying to match up these Hindu marriages. So here's the first one. I don't know if it's the very first marriage, arranged marriage, maybe someone before, but one of the very first. And so this was Swayambhuva's problem. And he didn't have any other resources. So he just got on his chariot with his daughter and started wandering around the earth looking for a husband. And he ran into the ashram of Kardama Muni. And there was some discussion between the two of them. And it was a very civilized conversation between two great Vaishnavas. And one of them is acting in the role of a king and the other in the role of a Brahmin sage. And so, very interesting example of an ideal discourse between the Brahmin and the Kshatriya. We see how they show respect to one another, how they value the worth of the other, how the Brahmana respects the Kshatriya for protecting the principles of religion with the force of his arms. And the Kshatriya respects the Brahmin for protecting the principles of religion in his own way. So among Vaishnavas, there is appreciation. There's I'm still not to use this word appreciation. It's misused. But I don't know what other word to use. They value one another appropriately. One another, Vaishnavas. There may be disagreement, but there's always that appreciation that this person has dedicated his life to the service of Krishna. Even if I have some disagreement. So therefore, we're interested in Bhagavatam as the narrations of the glories of the Supreme Lord and also the glories of his devotees. Kata, what is it? Avataranu charitam Haresh chasyanu vartinam Kata ishakata prokta nanarta upabrimhitam. This is the definition of one of the 10 topics of the Bhagavatam. Ishikata. But Ishikata is not only narrations about God himself. Haresh chasya anuvartinam kata. Narrations also about the followers or the devotees of Hari. There is the Hari Vamsa Upaparada, which is appendix to the Mahabharata. It's called Hari Vamsa because it describes the dynasty or the family of Krishna. And so does the Bhagavatam, although it's not called Hari Vamsa, it also describes Hari Vamsa. Hari appears in two dynasties, primarily the dynasty of the moon god and the dynasty of the sun god. Krishna himself appears in the moon dynasty. Lord Ram and some other avatars appear in the sun dynasty. So the Bhagavatam follows the pattern of tracing these two dynasties from their very beginning. And here is going to be the beginning of the both of those dynasties. The dynasties will branch off with the birth of Soma. But first, if I'm right, I think Soma is also a descendant of Surya, right? No. Can't remember. Soma was born from... Oh, son of Atri Muni. Yeah, so no, they're two separate branches. Anyway, they'll both be described. I think birth of Soma is not described until the fourth canto. Anyway, so here we're introduced to the Sun Dynasty, which will originate from Swayambhuva Manu. And then he has his 10 sons. One of them is Virasvan. Am I right? Yes. Son of... I think so. Who's Vivasan's father? Sun god, who's his father? Anyway, the connection is there. He's not directly his father. It's a close connection. So anyway, this is the beginning of the Vamsa Anucharitam, the description of the dynasty. This will extend to the rest of the Bhagavatam. This is the, if we can say, a plot. Usually, a dramatic presentation like a kavya or even an epic should have a unified plot. This is the difference between the itihasas and the puranas. The itihasas or epics should have one or a few main characters and a single basic plot involving those characters. Whereas a Purana is much less organized. It can have many, many characters and no particular plot. Mahabharata is focused around the five Pandava brothers, and there's one plot, their struggle with their cousins to control the kingdom. That's the plot. Ramayana has one main character, Lord Ram, and the drama is centered around the abduction of his wife by Ravana. Single plot, basic plot. Whereas Bhagavatam discusses so many things. Central is the Leela of Krishna, but even the Leela of Krishna has so many different things he does. There's no single drama of Krishna's life like there is of Rama, of the Ramayana. Krishna's son also got kidnapped. Krishna's son got kidnapped, Pradyumna. But that's just one story among many. It's not the main plot. But we do have this thread of the following of the development of these two dynasties. That is followed throughout the whole Bhagavatam. So there is a kind of plot. There's another, a play by, not a play, but a Mahakavya, big kavya, not a play to be performed, it's a major poem, by Kalidas called Raghuvamsha. And it describes the ancestors of Lord Ram, going back, I don't know, to Aja and so on, Dilipa, Aja, these kings of the dynasty in which Lord Ram appeared. And it's criticized by some dramatic critics that the play doesn't have a unified plot. The play, the poem, doesn't have a unified plot. It has so many different characters in different chapters, the different ancestors of Ram. Although it's a very excellent poem, it does receive that criticism. The Bhagavatam similarly doesn't have a unified plot, but it has this thread, just like the descendant, the predecessors of Ram, is the thread that holds together the Raghuvamsha. Similarly, the Bhagavatam is held together by this thread, two threads of the two dynasties. Anyway, a Purana doesn't have to have a plot. It isn't expected to have a single topic. Bhagavatam is more coherent than a Purana is expected to be. So it doesn't suffer that criticism. Anybody wants to criticize the Bhagavatam, let them do it at their own risk. Anyway. Okay, so I'll stop here.
Right.
Yes. Surya is a son of Kashyapa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course,
yeah.
The Chakshu Shaman Vatara came to an end, and the Vaivasata Manvantara was about to begin. The 12 Tushitas met together, and after the confrontation, he took part in the stand of
Vishnu Purana.
And Father Chandra was a demonic son, Raman, to be born at
Yes. Okay, I'm sorry, I had that confused. Okay, any questions or comments?
So yes. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said that it's called the science now.
Vibhisvata.
Vibhisvata
Manu. Vibhisvata's son. Yeah, he's the current Manu. Yeah, definitely. Prabhupada says that in the purport, that it's Vibhisvata Manu. Which means that the commentaries tell us that. Yes.
I think Kalidas, see, recognized as a like a prominent Vaishnava.
No, he's not an acharya in any sampradaya, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recognized some poets who otherwise would be considered mundane poets. Chandidas, Vidyapati, certainly Jayadev. He was very interested in his later pastimes in hearing their poems. So he took them as pure devotees. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not listen to just anything. He was only listening to a few things, and that was on his list of things he wanted to hear. But Kalidas is not on the list. I visited one Babaji in Vrindavan, who's not around anymore. You know, he's passed away. Uddiya Baba, Bhaktisanatha's ashram, the Baba that used to be in charge here. He told me that Kalidas is a Vaishnav. Well, he's a Vaishnav. Many of the poets were Vaishnavs, even though the theoreticians in Kavya were mostly Shaivites from Kashmir. The actual working poets were mainly Vaishnavs. But not on the level that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bothered to listen to. So, Jagadananda Pandit, in his book, Prem Vivart, explains about these poets. that they may have been materialists in their early career, but somehow they became pure devotees. This Chandidas Vidyapati. And therefore, they being perfectly pure devotees, they were Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very eager to hear their descriptions of Krishna Lila. But many poets are not on that level. And we have to put Kalidas, maybe a Vaishnav, but not a Vaishnav that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bothered to listen to.
How old is Kalidas?
Oh, I don't remember the date.
What?
He's relatively old, Kalidas.
Ooh.
Maybe somewhere around 500. No, you won't find Kalidas in there. Maybe 500 AD. Maybe, I'm not sure. He's considered like the greatest of the poets.
That was the one that Kalidas flourished in
800 BC.
Others place date up to
11th
century AD.
So, okay, it's your guess. Anywhere from 800 BC to 1100 AD. I think there are better guesses than that. Yeah, he was a good poet. Anything else? Thank you, Oblur, Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.